Hey, Joel Marion with Cheech Away Finn, and we're about to get into the Game Changer audio. Let's hop right on into it. Why is it that dieting is so psychologically draining? Well, for one, it requires change in a major area of our lives, the way that we eat. For most of us, change is a pretty uncomfortable thing. Changing old habits and forming new ones is never an easy task. However, with dieting, it becomes exceedingly difficult, given all the physiological or the physical adaptations that occur, which we'll soon discuss. Consider what happens psychologically when you go on a diet. Almost immediately, you're faced with an array of cravings. Just the sight or smell of food mentally adds to your already present hunger pains. You find yourself craving foods that normally you would have no desire to consume. Every time you come in contact with an off-limits food item, whether it be on a television commercial, in a magazine, or physically right in front of you, a battle initiates within your mind. Do you give in to the temptation in order to experience immediate pleasure, only to be sworn by overwhelming guilt shortly thereafter? Or do you stick it out and allow the anxiety to increase with every day? It seems like a lose-lose situation, and it is. And what if you're not making as much progress as you had hoped? What if you're seemingly doing everything right and the scale just isn't moving? Feelings of frustration, discouragement, and even depression emerge, making you even more inclined to break your diet. I mean, who wants to sacrifice without being rewarded? At least when you bite into a chocolate chip cookie, the taste is satisfying. But working hard to reap no return on investment, well, that's just no good at all. Dieting is a mental battle from day one on out, but in reality, all these things that we experience psychologically while reducing calories are the result of a bigger problem, your body's physiological or your body's physical response to your fat loss attempts, going head to head with nature. What most people don't realize is that the very concept of dieting is in direct opposition to the desired outcomes of going on a diet. Physiologically, as soon as you begin to restrict calories, your brain sends out a number of hormonal signals informing the body to put the brakes on metabolism and to hold on to that stubborn fat you're trying to kiss goodbye. In other words, your body works against your dieting efforts. In order for this to make any kind of sense, we need to think back to primitive times. In such times, it wasn't very likely that you would come across a physique-conscious individual. People in this time period had more important things to worry about, other than the reflection in the nearest stream, like surviving. In order to survive, one had to eat. Unfortunately, driving to the local supermarket and picking up a prepackaged meal for dinner wasn't an option back then. So in order to nourish themselves, they had to hunt for food. Even when food was more accessible in the warmer months, there were still periods of time when provisions were scarce. For instance, a family might feast on a kill for a few days and then go a few days with very little food while searching out more game. On a larger scale, during the winter months, food was in short supply throughout the entire season, leaving our ancestors in an underfed state for months and months at a time. During these lacking times, the body responds with its natural defense against starvation. Bad hormones, fat storage enzymes, and hunger all increase, while good hormones, metabolism, and fat-burning enzymes take a dive. In other words, the body does everything that it can in order to hold on to body fat as a survival protection mechanism. Today, we're faced with a similar response each and every time we go on a reduced calorie diet. Dieting, although it is planned, is just a lesser degree of starvation. You see, your body isn't aware of your hopes for six-pack abs or your efforts towards buns of steel. All it knows is that you're consuming fewer calories than you need, and to the brain, that's a big red flag. When a stressor is present, the body's job, without exception, is to take the necessary precautions in order to keep you alive. This is a great thing when infected with a virus or foreign bacteria, or if you're stranded on a desolate island off the coast of Timbuktu. However, this type of response isn't so wonderful when trying to chip away at the old love handles. And the longer you remain in a caloric deficit, the more pronounced the response becomes. Before you know it, fat is coming off extremely slow, and despite your dieting efforts, the scale doesn't seem to be moving, and your appearance doesn't seem to be changing. One of the major players in this whole chain of events is the hormone leptin, named after the Greek word leptos, meaning thin. Granted, there are many other hormones that play a role and reactions that take place in the regulation of body weight and metabolism, but for the purpose of this course, leptin is the main guy we need to be concerned with. You may or may not have heard of leptin, but since its discovery around the mid-90s, a multitude of research has been conducted on the hormone, and now, just about a decade later, we're finally beginning to understand the metabolic adaptations that occur within our bodies while dieting. Leptin is a hormone produced by and released by fat cells. It floats around in the blood and it communicates your starvation status to the brain. Under normal conditions, leptin is abundant and the brain receives the message that indeed everything is normal. Now, when an individual is very thin and or not consuming enough food, leptin blood levels are low, and consequently that red flag message that we just talked about is sent to the brain. These blood levels are controlled by two factors, the first being the amount of body fat that you are carrying, or your body fat percentage. Since leptin's origin is the fat cell, it only makes sense that there is a direct, linear relationship between leptin and body fat. This is of particular importance when dieting because as fat is lost, baseline leptin levels decrease. Less fat equals less leptin. Less leptin equals a red flag message to the brain. The second factor impacting blood leptin levels is the amount of food you are taking in or your caloric intake. The same direct linear relationship that exists between leptin and body fat exists between leptin and the amount of food you eat. It was originally thought that leptin levels were mediated solely by body fat levels, but more recent studies have shown that caloric intake affects leptin levels independent of fat mass. One particular study noted that leptin levels of dieters decreased by an average of approximately 50% after only 1 week of calorie restriction. However, subjects only lost a very small amount of their body fat during this time, certainly not anywhere close to 50%, maybe 2 or 3% at most. In other words, if someone is significantly overweight, but they're eating very little, he or she will still suffer from low leptin concentrations and the associated metabolic disadvantages. Calorie restriction equals low leptin levels. Low leptin levels equals a red flag message to the brain. So let's talk about what happens when the brain receives this red flag message that we've mentioned a few times now. After receiving the memo, the brain responds by sending out various regulatory signals to the rest of the body, causing quite a few adverse reactions, from a dieting standpoint anyway, to occur. Levels of thyroid hormones, which are hormones that play a major role in the regulation of metabolism and energy expenditure within the body and within the blood, significantly decline. Overall metabolic rate and 24-hour energy expenditure plummet to balance caloric output with caloric intake in order to preserve body fat or fat mass. Serum cortisol, a stress hormone which is largely responsible for abdominal fat storage and muscle wasting, skyrockets as leptin levels fall. And then, as if all the above weren't enough, concentrations of the hormone ghrelin, an appetite-regulating hormone produced in the stomach, increases dramatically, causing intense hunger and cravings to boot. No wonder why succeeding on a diet is so difficult. We're literally fighting a losing battle against our own bodies. As soon as we drop calories, leptin quickly falls and continues to gradually decrease. Then, for every pound of progress we make, our bodies fight back by dropping leptin even lower, which in turn tightens the clamps on fat burning. The more fat we lose, the more difficult it becomes to keep losing fat. Briefly going back to the psychology of it all, think of how demoralizing this is for us as dieters. Here we are, striving to do all we can to change, yet we're not making progress. As if change wasn't hard enough as it is, now we have our own bodies prohibiting us from doing so, regardless of the effort that we put forth. So then what can be done to combat these adaptations or to keep the fat-burning furnace afire? If fallen leptin levels are responsible for the metabolic shutdown and slowed fat loss, then why not just supplement with a synthetic leptin product, i.e. leptin in a bottle or something similar? Well, unfortunately, it's not quite that easy. And leptin researcher Lyle McDonald notes several reasons why. First, leptin is a protein-based hormone, so it cannot be taken orally. Therefore, the method of administration would then have to be injection. This puts the nutritional supplement industry out of the race, as any supplement or medication that needs to be injected can only be obtained with a prescription. Although, believe it or not, there are a few diet pill products out there claiming to contain leptin. which are obvious scams due to the reasons that I just mentioned. Beware of those. That leaves things up to the pharmaceutical industry. However, they aren't all that interested for a few reasons. First, there is the injection issue. An injectable medication, and if developed, it would in fact be labeled as a medication to treat the quote-unquote disease of obesity, for the simple fact that it requires one to plunge a needle deep into their skin daily. It wouldn't exactly be an eye-catcher for the general public and probably wouldn't sell very well at all. Secondly, leptin is extremely expensive, and given the cost, insurance companies would never cover it if there were public interest. And lastly, leptin would only work in conjunction with a diet and exercise program, which further makes the medication less marketable to today's quick fix society wanting to take a few pills and watch the fat melt away. So from this, we can pretty much see why supplemental leptin isn't going to be the answer to our problems. How about the commonly practiced method of dropping calories lower and lower until the scale starts moving again? Well, as you know, that's probably the worst thing anyone can do if continued fat loss is the goal. Further reducing calories will only cause leptin to crash harder, making the metabolic mess these individuals are trying to get out of even worse. Sure, by repeatedly reducing calorie intake over the course of a diet, you will eventually lose weight. But much of that weight will end up being muscle. And for those that think training with weights will keep you from losing muscle independent of calorie intake, believe me, the last thing that your body is concerned with at such low calorie levels is repairing muscle tissue in order to maintain muscle mass. The lower you drop calories, the more the body begins to fuel on muscle tissue as opposed to body fat. Well, why is this? Because muscle mass is calorically expensive to maintain. That's a good thing under normal circumstances, as muscle promotes a higher resting metabolic rate. But when leptin levels crash, the body is trying to decrease energy expenditure, so it begins to feed on muscle mass. A lower degree of muscle mass equals a lower metabolic rate, which is exactly what the body wants in this situation. This, in addition to all the other hormonal and metabolic adaptations, is why the percentage of people who are able to keep lost weight off for any substantial amount of time is in single digits. Prolonged dieting leaves your metabolism so tremendously screwed up that you have to continue to diet at extremely low calorie levels for the rest of your life to prevent the weight from piling back on. There has to be a better way to diet, an actual solution, and there is, and that way is called cheat your way thin. We know that under normal circumstances, leptin is plentiful and the brain is sensing everything as being A-OK. Metabolic rate is high, hormones are stabilized, and all in all, it's a very conducive environment for fat burning. Unfortunately, as we also now know, this fat burning environment quickly fades away as soon as we begin to restrict calories and actually try to strip some fat away. Despite having a pretty good reason for its reaction, it's pretty ironic that our bodies are primed for fat loss at every other time except for when we were actually trying to lose fat. Wouldn't it be great if we could diet while still maintaining that fat-burning Milo? It would seemingly solve all of our problems. In order to do this, though, we'd have to be able to keep leptin levels normalized in the face of calorie restriction. Well, I have good news for you. There is a way, and even better news, you're going to absolutely love the solution. Recall that there is a direct linear relationship between leptin levels and the amount of food you're eating. A decrease in energy intake yields a decrease in leptin levels. Fat loss is decelerated, and all those nasty physiological side effects mentioned earlier begin to set in. But since the relationship is linear, the opposite is also true. An increase in caloric intake will result in an increase in leptin levels. And while leptin levels drop around 50% after 1 week of dieting, it only takes 1 day of overfeeding, or quote-unquote cheating, to bring levels back up to baseline. So the solution to our dilemma and the very premise of this diet is cheat. That's right, on the Cheat Your Way Thin program, you will commit the dietary cardinal sin of throwing the rules out the window and eating the food you crave on a weekly basis. For those of you concerned that a day of overfeeding will negate recent progress, have no worries. Leptin levels rise faster than lost fat is able to come back on. Moreover, only a few days after the cheat, when the initial water bloat from the caloric surplus has faded, you will find that weight and body fat have measurably decreased. It all makes perfect physiological and psychological sense. By periodically cheating on your diet, you circumvent the negative physiological side effects of calorie restriction. Each week, you start fresh with baseline levels of leptin and a hormonal environment primed for burning fat, not muscle. The metabolic crash that occurs with prolonged dieting is no longer an issue. So keeping lost weight loss as you enter the maintenance phase of the diet won't be a problem. And forget about psychological feelings like guilt and failure. With Cheat Your Way Thin, you don't feel guilty when you cheat. You feel good because you know that when you do, you're helping to accelerate your progress. Anxiety? Not here. When cravings arise on the Cheat Your Way Thin program, there is comfort in knowing that you will be able to enjoy that very food when your next cheat rolls around in only a few short days. Feelings of discouragement and decreased motivation? No, again, when progress is occurring week in and week out, there's no reason to become discouraged. And many, many people have reported that the psychological vent that cheating provides causes them to return to their diets with renewed dedication and drive the next day. Cheating serves as both a physiological boost and a psychological vent. And what's more, psychologically, cheating allows us to avoid the emotional issues that result from the physical ones. Frustration, discouragement, depression, all of these things resulting from a lack of progress. With Cheat Your Way Thin, cheating is not something that is allowed. It's a vital, vital part of the program's success. Finally, a diet that works with your body, not against it. That completes our Game Changer audio. It's time to go ahead and move on and dig through the official program manual.